Madagai Gimbai, Biriti Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hello, I'm Heidi. Welcome to King's Kids. Last week, Tony talked about how Christians are able to use the name of Jesus with authority. This week, Tony continues that theme and explains the authority we have in Christ.
Today I want to talk about understanding your authority in Christ. This came about through a conversation that I had on the phone with an elderly gentleman last week who I'd sent a copy of King's Kid to on a CD. You got to understand, this friend of mine has been prosperous on and off all his life. He's worked for himself. He's 79 years old. And I've known him since I was a youngster, since I was a kid. We got to know each other more in later life because he was a bit of a rogue like I was. You know, we've spent a bit of time in Sandstone College together. For you people that don't know jail jargon, Sandstone College is the prison. We did time together in Maitland Jail. God spoke to me a few months ago and he said, Tony, you need to ring this guy every day. And you need to just share with him. You don't have to shove the Bible down his throat. You don't have to do anything like that. All you need to do is just ring him and let him know that somebody cares about him. And I said, okay, God. I said, that's not a problem. And you know, in that 3 months, I probably only missed 3 days that I haven't rang him. And there's been circumstances that prevented me from ringing on that day, but I always ring the following day. And we was talking and he said to me, that King's Kids, that radio program you got, he said, you often talk about hearing the voice of God. You're often talking about the authority of the believer. Circumstances aren't your God. He said, how would you explain this to a non-Christian like myself? He said, I'm 79 years old. I've never had nothing to do with church or religion or God ever. And all of a sudden now you sent me all these Christian DVDs and CDs and that. And he said, and I found myself attracted to listening to them. And he said, but I want you to explain it to me. How would you explain it to me so that I could understand in layman terms? Because you know I can't read and write. And you know that I'm crippled in a caravan. I can't get out. I need a hip replacement. And I need two knee replacements. And you're always talking about God healing people and doing stuff like that. You know, he said, would God be interested in helping or healing somebody like myself? Someone that's 79 years old and never give God the time of day. And I said, well, let me explain it to you this way. I said, I've been fed up over a period of time with Christian people in the church, who know they have authority in Christ, but they don't exercise that authority. And the devil comes along and kicks their teeth in every day, beats them every which way but loose, and they don't take any notice. And they wondered why they get beat up every day by the devil. They get beat in spiritual battles because they're fighting against powers and principalities, not human beings and human flesh. And sometimes they don't put on their armor, their Christian armor. And even if they did, they don't even take notice of what they're supposed to do. So let me tell you, I explained it to this man this way. I told him a story about a man that he knows who also isn't a Christian. But this man supported my ministry for many, many years. He said, well, this person we both know, he said, I knew about the time he went to overseas to Canada and he got sick. And he was sick for a while when he came back. And I remember the story that he told me about the time that he nearly lost his crop. And all the other farmers around him lost their crops and he didn't. But he said, it didn't sort of make sense. I said, well, let me tell you the other side of those stories. And then I'm going to give you a biblical principle on what all this means. So what I said to him was, this friend of ours rang me up and said he was at the airport. And he said to me, where are you? And I said, I was in Redfern. And he asked me to come to the airport to see him. I won't go into full details, but what happened was I went to the airport and this guy said to me, he said, brother, he said, I had a dream from your God. He didn't say he had a dream from God. He said, I had a dream from your God. And you know what happened? He told me the dream. I prayed for him. I did everything that God told him in the dream for me to do. And he cut a long story short, he flew to Canada. He got sick. He went into a coma. And at the end of that, he came out of it. They flew him back home. He was sick for months, but nobody could tell him what was wrong with him. And he just couldn't get better. And the other side of the story was that at another time, he had his crops in. He had a bumper crop coming. They've had a few bad seasons. And all the farmers were looking forward to a prosperous crop this year, a really great harvest. And they looked like they was going to get that. But then this cyclone, this lycoon, came out of nowhere. And it was heading from Dubbo, and it was destroying crops, everything in its path. There was heavy rain, there was high winds, there was hailstone, everything. And what had happened was when the storm came, it destroyed not this farm, but all the farms around it, destroyed all their crops. And he thought, how lucky was this farmer that his crop wasn't destroyed? And I said, it had nothing to do with luck. Because as a believer, I believe that what the Bible tells me, that we have authority over all things, that there's nothing that the devil can do to us that we don't have authority. And the reason the devil gets away with a lot of the things he does to Christians is because we allow him to do it. And we don't realize who we are and what power and what authority we have over the enemy. So I told him the story that when this guy rang me up, I went out to his property. I prayed in the office with him. I prayed and asked God what to do. And God told me to go out to the boundaries of the property, the four corners of the property, take some oil and anoint the boundaries with oil. And God asked me to pray, and I spoke to the atmosphere. I spoke it out loud that not one drop of rain, not one hailstone would fall across the east side of the boundary. And the wind wouldn't even damage his crop, and the rain wouldn't come across either. And after sitting up in the office and watching this happen, it destroyed all his neighbor's property, their crops and everything. And when we went out and checked his property, there was no rain, there was no water, there was no wind, there was no hailstone damage to any of his crops. And that year he had a bumper crop. And when I explained this to my friend, I said, simply put, it's like this. You said before that you're 79 years old, you're sitting in a caravan, you're waiting on a hip replacement, you need two knee operations, you have to have help to get out of the caravan, even to water the dogs, or even to go and get in a car to go to a doctor's, you need help, you can't do it by yourself. But I said, in your property, you have thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of equipment. You have tractors, you have fencing gear, you have welders, you have trucks and everything, all this equipment, you have trailers and that. And I said, because most people know you in the town, they know that you're crippled, but they know that you can't get out and defend your property. But because of your reputation as being a bomber, you know, that's why your nickname is Bomber. You blew up a pub years ago and another store and things like that. And because you was a pretty tough man in your time, people are a bit wary about coming out to your place and helping themselves to take in any of your stuff. But if they thought you was totally helpless and you couldn't get out of the caravan and you couldn't do anything to stop them from coming to take and robbing you blind, then what can you do about it? And I said, well, let me tell you this. If you hypothetically had a shotgun on your bed and a rifle, a 308, hypothetically, and somebody came in and the dog started barking and people were starting to help themselves to your property. Now, if you stuck that gun out the window and said, stop, that's my property, stop or I'll shoot you, that's your authority. As an unbeliever, that gun would become your authority. You would stop somebody from robbing you or taking your stuff. But on the other side of that, if you hypothetically had the gun on your bed and somebody come and took your stuff and you didn't point the gun out the window, then they would take your stuff because you had the choice. I can use the authority which I have in that gun to stop them from robbing me or taking my stuff, or I can sit on my hands and do nothing and get robbed. Now, I wanted to point it out to you. That's pretty simple. You understand that. But I said, as a believer in a Christian, as a believer in Christ, we have authority over the enemy. We have authority over the devil. We have authority over people who the devil uses to come and to destroy us, to take away our livelihood, to take away our families, to destroy our relationships, destroy our marriages, just to destroy us in general, because that's what the devil does. And the thing is, like you got your authority in the shotgun, but we have our authority in Jesus Christ. It's called the blood of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross and God raised him from the dead with his power, he gave him power to be raised from the dead. But the Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in us, as in believers, people that are born again. I'm not talking about religious people. I'm talking about people that are born again. That same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in us. And we can choose to use that power to stop the devil, to stop the enemy. It's up to us. We can choose to use that authority that Jesus gives us. Or we can just sit on our hands and let the devil run amok with our lives. And I've seen too many times Christians who know they can stand on the power and authority of Jesus Christ. But the problem is, after time, they don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know who they are because they don't read their word. They don't take notice of what God says to them through his word or through preachers. Sometimes they just go to church and they don't even hear what the message is all about. They don't pay attention. If you want to stop the devil from coming into your home, and he could come into your home through alcohol, he could come into your home through drugs, he can come into your home through violence or through something you're watching on television. Things that you allow to come into your life. And you know what? We have authority over all these things, except we just choose not to use that authority. We choose a lot of times to sit on our hands and let somebody come and steal our property, take our things. If you're not going to stand on the authority of Jesus Christ, then you can't do anything about it. Because you can't do it in your own strength. You need Jesus Christ. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need God to move in your lives. And you need to reach out and say, God, I want to use my authority in Jesus Christ. I want to stop the devil from coming into our lives, into our families, and taking, robbing, and stealing. If an old man in a caravan who's not saved can understand this principle that I'm talking about, then are the blind leading the blind? Do we understand what God is saying to us? Use his authority. Use his power.
That was the Gospel Coalition with Authority of Christ. Tony, can you give us an example of how you have used the authority of Christ in your own life?
Thank you, Heidi, for that question. I certainly can give you an example of how I've used that authority of Christ in my life. You may remember that I've talked about when I committed adultery. And as a result of that, I had a little boy named Kim. 12 months ago, I got this unexpected phone call. I remember exactly where I was when I got the phone call. I was down in Horton Street, and I was opposite Gloria Jean's. When I got the phone call, it was a phone call you don't expect to get, and because Kim's been a pretty healthy boy. He was 7 years old, or six at the time, and what had happened was she said to me, "I got to tell you the bad news. Kim has got cancer. He's got leukemia." And the first thing that came to my mind was that the story of David when he'd committed adultery with Bathsheba. You know, that child got sick. And I remember how David prostrated himself before God and he prayed and petitioned God. And then when that little boy died, David just got up and went about business as normal because he still had his trust in God. And you see, when I got this news about the leukemia, I just went and sat in my car and cried. And I thought to myself, I just cried in the main street. And I'm thinking, I don't care if anybody sees me because this is devastating news. And I thought, well, I was the one that committed adultery. Why couldn't something happen to me, not this little boy? He's an innocent child. And I remember just going home and I tried to talk to the family. And I tried to tell them that their little brother mightn't be around much longer because he had this very aggressive leukemia. And I said, "Are you sure the results are okay? Are you sure they double-checked everything?" She said, "They double-checked everything." And I just went home and sulked. Went home and cried, and thinking, you know, sort of not talking to God, half talking to God, getting a bit cranky that this has happened. And then about the third day, I sucked it up. I always say to my kids, "Suck it up, princess. Get on with it." And I said to myself, I said, "Suck it up, princess. You need to start talking to God and you need to take your authority." And then, you know, I started speaking to that cancer. I started speaking to that leukemia here in Port Macquarie because, you know, there's no difference and there's no distance and time in the spirit world. And although that little boy was in Brisbane, I was speaking to that cancer from Port Macquarie and I spoke to it. And I got worked up, I got fired up. The more I prayed, the more fired up I got, the more I prayed, and the more I prayed. And you know, then I prayed for about 2 days like that, and I said, "Lord, I'm going to stop praying now because I know that you heard me, that you love me, that you love Kim, and Father God, I expect you to do something." And I said, "There's no point in coming to you whinging, crying, and sucking like a little baby if you don't expect God to do something." And you know what? I stood on that promises that God says he loved me, he'll never leave me or forsake me. And I said, "God, I expect to hear good news." And 3 months later, when Kim went back for more tests, they had to get the specialist back in because they couldn't find the leukemia. And they double-checked their first lot of a test. They double-checked everything. And when they checked it again, the doctor was confused. He said, "The only thing I can put this down is that it's a miracle." He said, "Does this boy have anybody praying for him?" She said, "Yeah," sarcastically, "his father." But, you know, it doesn't matter what she thinks of me or what the world thinks of me, but I know what God thinks of me. I am anointed of God, and I know that my God wants the very best for me, and he wants the very best for my children. And you know what? God wants the very best for you. It doesn't matter who you are today. It doesn't matter whether you've got a problem in your life like cancer or whether you just have trouble paying the rent, whether you have trouble putting food on the table. We have a God that loves you and cares about you. And God will send somebody along to do practical help. Like I have a Christian friend, a good friend. I've never met a man like him that when somebody's in need, you can always rely on Dudley. He'll turn up. And he'll do what God tells him to do. He will answer the call of God. And he will do everything that God tells him to do. He'll help people out. He's always there 24/7. And you know what? I'm always there 24/7 to help people. I just love serving God, and by doing that, by helping people, is that's what we do. That's what King's Kids Ministry is all about.
Thanks, Tony, for those insightful words. I'm sure there's someone listening today who was going through a difficult time and they've been touched by those words and now has the tools to grasp the authority of Christ. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions you'd like to ask Tony, ring him on 0427 839 474. King's Kids is on at the same time next week, and Tony and I would love to see you then. I'm Heidi. God bless, and see you next time.